Blog Talk Radio.
Until showtime. Until showtime. Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Blog Talk Radio.
morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of Your Love Journey. Your love experience with Janine and Ingram. We're about to play by Diane Reed. Yes, right here on The Love Journey.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter hold you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on. But peace is mine. And all that stuff, just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you planned them. But I believe God and time are synonymous. And through time, God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention. I just wanna testify. I just gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, I gotta testify. When I look back on my life, I go crazy when I think of the danger I put myself in. But amazing grace always carried me to safety, knowing that I'd go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. In spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just want to testify. I got to testify. I just want to testify, oh, amazing grace saved my life. So sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself, accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself, yeah. With amazing grace as your constant friend. I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, because yesterday made me who I am today. Yeah, I just want to testify when mind is strong. I just gotta testify, I can see. I just wanna testify, amazing grace saved my life. I gotta testify,
testify.
Oh, gotta tell my story.
Testify.
About love, about the light and the glory.
Testify.
How it taught me to walk. Yeah.
Testify.
Yeah, how it taught me to talk. Oh, I gotta testify, 'cause I feel
testify.
All right now. I gotta testify, 'cause my
testify.
Soul is all right.
Good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. Yes, and we're going to get ready and tone within. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that my God is not. Let's get ready and breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And so as we center our breath and our thoughts, begin by breathing in through our nose, holding it to the point of vibration, recognizing there's power in the breath, holding it to the count of eight, recognizing that there is power in the breath, releasing through the mouth and remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and remember to breathe into the heart. Family, I want you to breathe into the heart. And so I want you to prepare yourself. Center your mind and be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Let's breathe. And release power. In the breath, I want you to breathe in again. Don't forget to breathe deep into the diaphragm. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe. There's power in the breath. Breathe. And last time. Don't forget to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to be intentional. Breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God, precious and all precious and Holy Spirit, I come before you today, Holy Spirit, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will come from the highest source of my higher myself. From the transcending power, come Holy Spirit. As I remove every human created thought, come on, Holy Spirit, and cleanse every thought. As I remove every human created ego, come, Holy Spirit, and cleanse every cell in my body. As you cleanse in my heart anything that is not serving a higher purpose, come, Holy Spirit, and anoint my words this morning. That my words may be your words, my thoughts may be your thoughts. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray these things over each and every person under the sound of my voice, that every human created ego will be removed right now, God, that every human created thought will be removed right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bless and anoint each person under the sound of my voice right now, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and raise the vibratory energy of this call right now, God. As I call forth the greater version of each and every person right now, God, who hear these words, as I call forth the greater version of each person who will come to the recorded line to hear this word right now, God, I ask you to come and raise the vibratory energy of each and every person. Raise the frequency level, God, oh, that we can be removed from our own thoughts, God, that we may come in this space, in this right now moment, and come empty, God, that we may be filled by the presence of our higher mind self, our beloved I Am presence, beloved God, Goddess consciousness, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and let this be one mind, one love, in a one space, God, in a collective, powerful place of love. God, I just thank you right now for this opportunity to come together in your name, God. I thank you for this opportunity. You said, God, where two or more gathered in your name, Holy Spirit, in the name and nature and consciousness of the Christ energetic expression, that the presence is there. We thank you right now for this opportunity to come together in one mind, anointing the thought, removing from ourselves any unbelief, Holy Spirit. Removing anything that is not serving a higher purpose, Holy Spirit. Asking you to come in and come forth with the very purpose of our design right now, God. That we can hear it right now, God. That we will know it right now, God. That we will own it right now, God. That we will open our voice and shout to the world whatever words that are made manifest in you right now, God. That we can speak the words that are our truth, God. And know that we can honor someone else's experience. We give thanks, Holy Spirit, for the opportunity to come together and honor each other's stories, God, because we know that our story just might be the blessing that someone else might be to hear. We thank you for this Tell Your Truth Out Loud, because there's something about telling your truth out loud. We give thanks, Holy Spirit, for having a voice, God. We give thanks for the opportunity to give voice to our dreams this morning, Holy Spirit. We give thanks to give voice to our truth this morning, God. We give thanks for the opportunity to just stand in the knowing that our presence liberates others when we stand in our truth, in our authenticity, in our transparency. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And then when we honestly know that we attract into our space the story we tell ourselves, so that we can tell our story from a place of what we used to understand, and now that we know better, we'll do better, Holy Spirit. I just give thanks for the evolution. I give thanks for the revolution. I give thanks for the evolving ascension of each and every one of us, to grow into where we came from, which is love. Thank you for the anointing of love. Thank you for a fresh anointing today, Holy Spirit. Thank you today for the opportunity to stand in love, speak in love, walk in love. Thank you, God. In the mighty consciousness of love, in the mighty nature of love, I say, amen. And just breathe. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning, good morning. To the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars. Good morning to the earth, the wind, the fire, the ethers, the water. Good morning to our most angelic, most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, family. Good morning, angels. As we invite and invoke your presence into this call, come, angels, and sit at the table with us this morning. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels. As we invite and invoke the presence of you into this call, we honor your presence. Good morning, archangels. Good morning, ascended masters. As we invoke and invite your presence into this call, thank you, ascended masters. And as we invite each and every one of our master guides and our spirit guides into this call, we say good morning, good morning. As we invoke and invite them into this call, the unseen committee, we honor your presence in our lives. And good morning to our ancestors. As we just sit 1 minute and just think of our ancestors, to those who walk this journey before us, to those who sacrificed, to those who were a part of the lineages of who we are today. We give honor to those ancestors this morning as we invite and invoke their presence into this call, as we come as one and stand as many this morning. We know our ancestors are with us. Good morning, ancestors, and we send absolute love and homage to you this morning as we invite and invoke your presence. Good morning, Miss Anastasia McAdoo, my mother, who was the vehicle who brought me to the planet. Miss Colette Grant, I honor your presence, who midwife this call. Good morning, family. As we send love into our descendants, those who will come behind us, those who will reap the benefits of the work and the prayers that we make happen today, those who will benefit from us, we send love, love into our descendants this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, family. Love, love to the gods and goddesses. Peace, peace to the kings and queens. I'm absolutely excited to be in the presence of millionaires and billionaires, new inventors, and all the new inventions that will come from this line, from those who have a mind to bring forth new businesses, new books, and new ideas. I honor your presence this morning. Love, love to my love journey family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You superly, that's interesting. I am super excited to be in the presence of you this morning. Happy to be a part of the journey, this journey called love. I am Janine Ann Ingram, and I am honored, just really honored. We're going to start off with reading of the science of the mind this morning. Can you imagine? Imagine it. That's what today's science of the mind is my imagining ourselves. Can you imagine yourself living the life that you so desire? Can you imagine yourself living the life? Alice Walker once said, it's so clear that you have to cherish everyone. I think what I get from these older black women, that every soul is to be cherished and that every flower is to bloom. Alice Walker family. It's interesting that they start off with a quote from Alice Walker. I was watching a Nightline, and it just blew me away what's happening in Honduras and how they treat women. It's called feminicide. And I'm like, God, all right, I went to sleep. I got to do something. We got to do something to assist women to their higher place on the planet and really, really heal this planet, to remind them that women are important. They just kill women, cut women, do anything they want to do with women in the Honduras, and it is no recourse there. And so I want you to send love into the healing land of Honduras today. But that's a whole other story. And Ernest Holmes said in a book called This Thing Called You on page 2, in some way which you know not of, through some process which never reveals its face, life has entered into you, and with it the irresistible impulse to create. Oh, I like that. It's on page 2 of a book called This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes. He said, in some way which you know not of, through some process which never reveals its face, life has entered into you, and with it the irresistible impulse to create. That's what I think of when I think of the word imagine. I get to create in my own mind. In the science of the mind, it says, do you regularly revel in how unique you are? Let's talk about that. Let me say that again. Do you regularly revel in how unique you are? You should, and understand that I seldom tell people they should do anything. You see, you are precious. You see, you are one of a kind. You're one of a kind commodity. And those two facts are something to celebrate, a joy to acknowledge, and vital to your success. We all too easily decide to do something or to be something in our lives by mimicking the success of others. You see, I saw how one of my early teachers lived. She had what I considered to be an outrageous and envious lifestyle. And when I told her I wanted to be her one day, she just smiled compassionately and told me that position was already taken and she had it. And after my ministerial training was complete, I'd announced to my mentor that I wanted to be her assistant. She refused. She didn't decline the offer. It was an overnight, it was just an outright refusal. Let me say that again. She said, I announced to my mentor that I wanted to be her assistant. She refused. She didn't decline the offer. It was just an outright refusal. She told me in so uncertain terms to go create my own ministry. So I did just that. But the funny part about imagining the life we want is that while it may seem outrageous to others, it seems quite normal to us. We can't be who we are without a little criticism for others, as well as a few puzzled people who can't quite figure out happening upon us. You see, both views are perfectly all right, so long as we don't allow the opinions of others to direct our lives. Is there some quality or experience you long for in your life? Is there something you crave? Is there something do you desire in your wildest imagination and can taste it, feel it, smell it, and hear it, and see it? Got it. Good. Now go for it. Go for it. Our affirmation today is, I am the perfect version of myself. I absolutely love that. I love myself just the way I am, for the way I am is perfect, and I revel in my unique expression of life. I want you to repeat that with me, family. We're going to say that together. I am the perfect version of myself. Let's say it together. I am the perfect version of myself. I love myself just the way I am. Let's say that together. I love myself just the way I am. For the way I am is perfect. For the way I am is perfect. I revel in my unique expression of life. I revel in my unique expression of life. Wow. I hope that made you feel just as good as it made me feel, because I am the perfect version of myself. I am the perfect version of myself. Isn't that amazing to just think about? To absolutely already know, to already own, to already be in the presence of knowing that I am the perfect version of myself. To just be in the true understanding that no one can do what I came to the planet to do in quite the way that I came to do it. Because see, nobody got my flavor. What's your flavor? See, nobody can do it like you. Nobody. Wow. Well, family, we're going to talk about something that I always love to talk about. And anybody know me, know I love to talk about it. I love to grow in it. I love to expand in it. And I just have to honor the Love Journey family today by honoring you. I say this. I've noticed that we've come to a place where money is not triggering anyone on the line anymore. I remember we used to talk about money. Ooh, we used to trigger people on the line. But guess what? We've grown so much. And I just want to honor that. Honor the place where you are right now, where you actually are becoming more intentional. And some of you all specifically know what I'm talking about because you know you were triggered by the conversation whenever we talked about money. You would get triggered and you would come on and say, well, money's not everything. Well, money is absolutely everything and more. And I'm super excited to be in the presence of money because money is who you are. You are money. I am money. We are money. And money is all that God is. And God is all money. And so it could not be everything because everything is energy and energy is everything. And our job is to get our financial homes in order. I am so super excited to be intentional this morning, simply intentional about getting our financial homes in order. And you know what I imagine? I imagine that one day I'll be walking down the street and somebody will walk up to me and say, I was on a love journey. And I didn't used to have this wonderful relationship with money, but today I can stand before you and say, my money is making money for me. I'm able to retire into my dreams because my money is making money for me. I've learned how to allow my money to make money for me. We're going to start off by hearing one of my favorite speakers, one of my favorite people in the world, and anybody who know me know who this is, talk about money making money, talking about we were never meant to live in anything but a luxury, abundant life. And I want you all to own that. You see, I stopped by the Love Journey today to remind you, you get the right to choose how you want to own your life. You get to choose today how you want to own your money. Yes, you get to choose how you want to fix your financial home or not. Because money is yours to have. So imagine what life would be like if you were already operating in the dream life of yours and money was making money. And even when you were sleeping making profits. Profits making profits. Money making money. And you were so excited because not only were you living in financial freedom, but you were living in financial significance. What is financial significance? That's when you can with your money. That means we won't have situations happening in our community that we can't do anything about because we don't have the money. But we have more than enough where we can be financially significant. Meaning, say so someone calls and say, you know, the school in our neighborhood doesn't have enough computers for every child. Oh, well, let's get together and let's make, they need $1.5 million. Oh, okay. Well, let's 10 of us write a $100,000 check. No problem. So that we can make sure that our children are educated equally and globally. You know, there's no reasons why every school should not have a computer on every desk. And I imagine that all the time in my dreams. I think about it, I pray for it, because my daughter went to a school, boarding school. And whenever I went to the boarding school, It was 12 students in each one of her classrooms. You know, they have parent day, you go to the classroom. And I used to sit and watch. I mean, they had this big screen on a wall in her economics class. And they would be watching Wall Street and watching the stocks and literally implementing how to invest in stocks. And they, each one of them in the class would get so many stock points, and they would give them stocks based on whatever they invested in. And they would invest, and they had these computers on their desk. Each one had their own personal laptop, and they get to learn and live and do money. Now, I've never seen that in the school in my own community. I've never seen that big screen in the classroom. And even though I thank God my personal daughter was blessed to have that opportunity in her high school, in her boarding school, I wish that for every child on the planet. There's no reason why our children should not have that same kind of process where there's 12 students in the class. And they could be a little more, but they can have that personal attention. And they can walk away learning how to make money for them, and learn how to invest in stocks instead of being consumers. In their high school, they were taught not to be consumers, but to be investors. In our community, we teach our children consumerism. But that's another story for another day, family. I'm not getting into it. Whenever I think about being financially significant, I always go there first because my passion is education. And I'm not saying everybody needs a formal education. You know, that's not my – I just got my own formal education. But I did it because I taught my kids education. And my kids are like, well, Mama, you know, education not that important. It is important. And it may not be important to every person. It don't mean everybody's path is the same. But the reason why I love for every child to go away to college, not because I think every child should be formally educated, but there's something that happens socially. There's something that happens in the transition from being in, you know, 18 years old and going into your adulthood that happens when you get to expand your and broaden your knowledge by being around other people who come from other places. You get to see the world from a more global expectations, because what happens, you meet people from all around the world that come, and you get to develop relationships with people from all around the world. And that's what college does. Even if they're going away 1 year, I tell my children, go away. Get to meet people, know things. Then from there, they had a global opportunities to spend summers in Senegal. Ebony spent 2 summers in Senegal, and she spent in Cape Verde and South Africa. Asia spent a couple of times in South Africa. She was asked to go there and speak 17 days with different poor villages to speak to the young people. You know, they went to Australia, they went to China. And the one thing that I honestly say, the thing that I've never done is been to Africa. And I'm super excited that my children had the opportunity to put their feet on the soil of the motherland. That's the kind of thing that I want for our children. So as we begin to move and evolve, the Love Journey will create a Love Journey scholarship for children. Young people who want to go out the country, because there's not a lot of scholarships. You know, when Asia was going to Africa, and I had to do whatever I had to do to get the money for her to get there, I was thinking, why they don't have scholarship programs? Why they don't have opportunities and money set aside for children who want to go global, who want to go outside the country and learn and see life from a different perspective? That's an education in itself. And so our goal is, as I move and we become more financially significant as the Love Journey will be giving children money to go overseas and to just take time to see life from a global perspective and not just on their block. And I say that because being a part of the CHA and working with a lot of children, there were people, young people who had never seen downtown Chicago, who had never been out their neighborhood. And so when I think of financially significant, I think about expanding the minds of our children. beyond the scope of their neighborhood, beyond the scope of Facebook in the way that they know Facebook. But when they look at Facebook and these different social media, they will see it from a more global perspective because it will open their minds. And that's what I mean when I mean being financially significant. But we cannot be financially significant until we can be financially free in our own. So today we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to start off by playing Reverend Ike today. Y'all know who I was talking about, right? Because everybody knows. And I'm just so grateful. You see, grateful for the opportunities and the times that I had was allowed to sit at the feet of Reverend Ike. You see, I'm grateful for the times that Spirit allowed me the opportunity to just sit and never knowing. See, I never knew that it was going to come back and I'd be standing before people and teaching and educating people about money. I never knew that. The other day when I was standing in at the Wealth, you know, the Wealth Summit that we do, talking about our education, educating people on money and creating these money clubs and stuff, I never thought that my life would get to the point where I would be teaching money. Because I never thought that that's what our purpose was about. And today, family, I really want you to think about how you move in your money space. What is your relationship to money? And just be honest with yourself. This is nothing that you have to open up the line and say to me. But I want you to really think about what is my financial house like right now? What's in my bank account? How much do I actually have saved? Am I in a position to allow my money to make money for me today? Am I in a position? I want you to think about that. Not even being financially significant, but just being in a place where you can make a choice not based on money. Meaning that if somebody said, let's go to Dubai, and you really wanted to go, could you go? Without having to think about, do I have the money? The money won't be the deciding factor whether you can make something happen or not. That's the place I want us to be first. That's the place where I honestly want us to go into a space and say, I got my money making money for me. And I don't have to worry about money. See, I don't have to worry about money. I'm sleeping every night, and when I wake up, I done gained X amount of interest on my money. Money making money. Money making money. That's the place. See, that's where I want us all to be. You see, because it's not fun being up there by yourself. That's why Oprah gave her best friend $1 million. Why you think Oprah gave her best friend $1 million? Do you think it's fun to be up there by yourself? No, she wanted her best friend with her. I want all of my friends up there with me. I want all of you up there. But I don't want you to just be up there with your money. I want you to be up there happy, whole, perfect, living your dreams. We high-fiving each other because guess what? I'm living my dream. I'm living the dream, not because I was special, because I was obedient to the call. Can you imagine Oprah walking out before thousands of people at the Essence Festival? And she can honestly say, family, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. I can't wait to get out there and say that. I'm living the dream, family. She said, not because I was special. Because I was obedient to the call. You see, if something happens when we begin to stand in our purpose, when we begin to stand in the reason for the season of our life, nobody can do it like you, baby. Nobody can do it like you. So I'm going to go ahead and play Reverend Ike, and then we're going to talk about money, 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 money. Here's Reverend Ike.
You know, some of you people, you never learn economics. I never studied economics in school either, but I have learned how to work with material economics, but most of all, I have learned how to work with cosmic economics, and that's what we teach here. And you, some people never dream or visualize themselves at that point where they can have money working for them. You are not designed to go through this world working for money all of your days in this dimension. Before you leave here, you should reach that point where money is working for you.
Come on now.
I'm telling you folks, some of you, something here that was never told to you before. Some of you know it. Most of you don't. Most people think that all their days they've got to work for money. But you never really get into big money until you have your money working for you. You see, and that's the big thing about having money but not letting money have you. In your visualization, see yourself with savings certificates, interest-bearing accounts. See yourself with the right stocks and bonds. Now, don't go down and put your money on wrong stocks. This is why you must begin in your mind and tune into divine ideas so that you will be led and guided. And don't give your money to the first glib investment counselor that comes along. Be guided from within. And I see it here now. I visualize it for many of you, and I feel many of you accepting it now. And mark my word on this. Inside of the next 12 months from this date, and I want you to write this date down right now. All of you who don't have, some of you who may not have have paper and pencil with you, when you get home, write down this date. Write down this date and write with it, I see myself having money working for me. Repeat that with me.
I see myself having money making for me.
Let me give you the prophecy. Well, the divine fortune teller in your mind says to you, before these things spring forth, I tell you of them. Inside of 12 months from this date, some of you who never knew anything about having money to work for you are going to come back up here on the same platform, and you're going to write me, and you're going to tell me, Reverend Ike, I have some money working for me. How do you think rich people got rich? By working for money? You never get rich. You never get wealthy by working for money. You only get wealthy by having money, what? Working for you. Some of you have never had this told to you before. And pardon me for being racial, but especially you black people. But you know what Brother Seabrook said about Big Daddy Green Power. He'll turn you on. All right. And I want to say this again, and I want to be redundant. I'm telling you something that's very important. I'm telling you something right now some of you never heard before, and some of you will never hear in church. All you'll ever hear where you go is pie in the sky by and by when you die. But I'm teaching you how to get the pie before you die. And if you get some pie, you won't die so soon. You won't have to wait for the chariot from the sky. You'll be singing Swing Low, Sweet Cadillac before you leave here. I'm turned on to an idea, and I feel a lot of people turning on with me. I want to say this again. Please listen to this. If you ever heard anything, if you ever let anything remain in your big head, You are not supposed to go all the way through this world having to work for money. Two things should happen. You should get to that place where you work not because you have to, but because you want to. So here again, you're not supposed to go all the way through this world having to work. You should get to the place where you work because you want to, not because you have to. The next thing, you are not supposed to go all the way through this world, and please put this on television. You're not supposed to go all the way through this world having to work for money. You should reach that point where your money works for you. Get busy in your visualizations and visualize yourself in those two conditions. And I declare unto you that if you visualize yourself in this condition and see yourself having money working for you and working just because you want to and not because you have to, it will happen to you. Let me give you some affirmations for this right now. I see myself in the position
where I
want to.
Because I want
to. Not because I have to.
And not because I have to.
I see myself.
I see myself in the position
where my money works for me.
Where my money works for me.
Instead of me having to work for money.
Instead of me having to work for money. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. All right. How does that make you think? What does that make you think about? What do you think about when you have your money making money for you? Money making money. Money making money. We're going to talk about that. What would that look like? And in your journals today, and I know that everybody who's been on this line for all these years know you should have a journal. I want you to get a money journal, though. I want you to have a money journal. And so I decided, I taught a class the other day on money, right? And I had everybody bring whatever kind of journal they want. And I brought all of these money, like wrappers and money stuff, and so that their journals will be wrapped in money. And I want you to do something like that if you desire. If not, you don't have to. But I do want you to really suggest that you, strongly that you get a money journal just about money. And start journaling your thoughts, your relationship, how you want your life to be when it, into relationships with money. Because the first thing that I think we should really do is get our financial house in order. And that's going to be our framework from here to next year. What is the framework? The framework is getting our money house in order. I want you to say that to yourself. I am getting my money house in order right now. Yes, I want you to get your money in order right now. And what would that look like for each and every one of us is different. One of the things I want us to think about, a portion of money that we earn is ours to keep. A portion of my money I earn is mine to keep. And I want you to put that in a special earn account for you. And I want you to think about where you can put that money, where your money can make you money. And it does not matter if it's little or a lot. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. And so we got to start today. So don't tell me, oh, Janine, well, I get a fixed income. If you get $1,000 a month, take $100 of that money. And if you're not ready for $100, then take $50 of that money. And put it in an account. And think about, take that money that you put in that account and then spend some time with it and ask it, where can I put you where you can actually multiply for me? Where you can actually work for me? Because, see, money, we are the masters of money.
Let me hear you say that together. Let's say that. I am the master of money. Say that, family, in your mind, in your words. If you're at work and you can't say it loud, just say it proud in your mind. I am the master of money. I was reading this article, of course, and I'm going to read it to you, and then we can talk. He said, I hope you're having a great weekend, because this weekend we're going to talk about a hot topic, a topic that everyone can relate to and can also be emotional. So when we move into this week's topic, let me preface it by saying, if you find yourself triggered, become curious rather than reactionary. Let me say that again, because so many times when we get triggered, we get reactionary about it. But if you're triggered today, become curious. Why are you triggered when it comes to money? Question, what do you feel when you hear the word money? And I want you to write that down in your journal today. What do you feel when you hear the word money? And I want you to be honest with yourself, because the only place we can heal ourselves is when we're authentically honest and transparent with ourselves. What do you feel when you hear the word money? And if you'd like to come on and talk about that after, you know, you're welcome. Tell me what you feel when you hear the word money. Do you get tense in your body? Not only do you, I want you to write down what you think, but I want you to talk about what you feel. Are you tense when you hear the word money? What about a lot of money? What happens when you think of a lot of money? But what happens when you think of no money? I want you to journal that. So there's those three things. Let me go back again. What do you feel when you hear the word money? What do you notice when you hear or feel a lot of money? And what happens when there's no money? What emotions does this generate within your body? I want you to write that down. Let me make sure so we can go back over it. What do you feel when you hear the word money? What about a lot of money? What about no money? What emotions does this generate within your body? What emotions come up for you when you hear a lot of money, no money, or even just the word money? What emotions are generated within your body? Let me tell you what journaling does. Use blue ink on white paper. It touches the subconscious mind. We're part of an organization, Global International Network, and they never wanted us to write anything but blue ink on white paper, because it touched the subconscious mind. We write, if you can, I mean, there's no, you know, no rights or wrongs. You get to do it the way you want to do it. This is your life. I'm just giving you information that was shared with me in these different processes that I've been a part of, and I know it worked for me, but, you know, everything works for everybody in their own way with what they want to work with. So do with what you want to work with, and remember, inch by inch, less of sense. You don't have to do everything all at once. But I decided that we will reframe our financial home, because when we get our financial house in order, then it's easier to start working in other areas. So I want you to think about that. Now, if you wish to live an abundant life filled with meaning, purpose, and passion, it's vital to master your relationship with money. Say with me, I am mastering my relationship with money. Come on, family. I am mastering my relationship with money. You see, you don't have to be a millionaire or a billionaire to be wealthy, because wealth is not about how much you have. Come on, say that with me. Wealth is not about how much you have. Say that, family. Wealth is not about how much you have, but rather how you relate to what you have. Come on, family. I want you to hear that. I stopped by today because we're going to talk about reframing our relationship to money. We're going to be talking about getting our financial house in order. Because the next time I go to an event, I want to see one of my Love Journey family standing on the stage saying, I'm a millionaire today. I want my Love Journey family standing somewhere saying, I opened up my dreams. I live in my dreams because I was obedient to the call. I want you to stop by Sister Home today. I want you to stop by and see all these books I wrote today. You see, that's the dream that I want to see come through. And guess what? It takes money. But the only way that we will have the money for whatever we want to bring forth is what? if we get our financial houses in order. And the first place to get our financial house in order is where? Because money problems is not a mind, it's not a money problem, it's a mind problem. Let's say that again, family. I want you to say that again. Money problems is not a money problem, it's a mind problem. Come on, family. Say it with me. I stopped by today to remind you, you have every right to be rich. You have every right to live the dream. You have every right to be an heir to the throne, to what you come from, which is total abundance. So if you wish to live an abundant life filled with meaning, purpose, and passion, it's vital to what, family? Master our relationship with money. Say that with me. I am mastering my relationship with money. I want to hear it, family. I am mastering my relationship with money. You don't have to be a millionaire or a billionaire to be wealthy, because what? Wealth is not about how much you have, rather how you relate to what you have. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. So if you wish to step into an abundant financial life, it's equally important to examine your relationship with money. Now, there are rules and beliefs about money that can move you forward or hold you back. Do you want a positive relationship with money? Do you want to create an abundant life? He said, as I've grown as a teacher and entrepreneur, I had to come face to face with my money stories and my money beliefs. Most wasn't even true anyway. You see, for years I held back and kept abundance out, not because an abundant financial life was not possible for me, but because of the stories, because of the beliefs, and because of the emotional response I had about money that kept it out of my way. You see, there isn't a great abundance waiting for you to be. And today, this will be a happy life. And it's to you to claim it. It's yours. It's yours to claim it. I wish you big love today as we talk about this. I want you, my wish, your sister in prosperity, your sister in money love, want nothing but greatness for each and every one of you on the line today. What is your money beliefs today? What are your money beliefs today, family? What beliefs about money are you holding on to that's keeping money out of your life? That's keeping you from living the abundant life that you were meant to live? Family, somebody ought to say amen this morning. What money story are you holding on to? I want you to think about that. So as I continue to read, the author of this right here says, welcome to this week's episode. He said, I'm coming to you from Bali, one of my favorite places in the entire world. Can you imagine, family? We standing somewhere on doing our little TV program and doing our little coaching program or whatever we're doing, standing there from Bali, Indonesia, from the Fiji Islands, from Paris, from Hawaii, standing there teaching, educating our clients and people who've become our tribe, that we've been called to help elevate, that we can stand from the place of Bali or wherever we desire and speak our words. I want you to imagine that you're making so much money that you land on the beach with your pink Mai Tai, with your pink umbrella. And your money, making money. He said, I'm coming from you from Bali, one of my favorite places in the entire world. It's so beautiful, powerful, incredibly spiritual island. And I've been leading some retreats here. Can you imagine leading your retreat in a beautiful, incredible spiritual place called Bali? He said, we lead a couple of retreats here every year. And one of the things that's really interesting is that when I'm able to travel, you know, not long ago, I wasn't able to travel in places like Bali or Maui or Santorini or any of the places I've been able to be blessed to travel. And one of the reasons why is that I did not have an empowered or healthy relationship with money. I stopped by, family, to talk about reframing our relationship with money. I'm going to say that again. He said the reason is because I did not have an empowered or healthy relationship with money. He said I did not have an empowered or healthy relationship with money. Come on, family, somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You see, and money is a topic that can trigger you. It's a topic that can really set people off. So during this conversation, if you find yourself getting triggered, if you find yourself getting upset, just pause for a moment and see if you can get curious instead of triggered. Yeah, I know some people hung up this phone. Yeah, I know some people not ready for this conversation. But see, I'm ready for the massive opportunities that are about to come my way. And I'm so grateful that we've come to a place where I can openly talk to you about money and those who stayed on the line about not being triggered. Because guess what? In order to move into the place of our dreams, we have to get our money house in order. And let me tell you why. You know, it's a disservice to say I love God and not have your money house in order. I know you want to, some of y'all might hang up on that too. But let me tell you, it's blasphemous to say I love God and be poor. It's blasphemous to live in poverty and to live in lack of anything and say I love God. Because that is not the example of living God on the planet. It's not. I come to tell you, family, that your God, however you see your God, and however you name it, was didn't never ever expect or want or have a desire for you to live in nothing but greatness, nothing but desired beauty. Because when God did everything, God did it in abundance. Why wouldn't God want you to live in abundance? And that, and it's really what abundance means to you. But why wouldn't God want that for you? You think God really said, I'm going to put you on a planet, and I want you to struggle, and I want you to be sad, and I want you to stay in bad relationships, and I want you to continue to be hurt? And that is not the God that I serve today. And family, I don't care if you hang up the phone because you think this is blasphemy, then hang up, because what I'm telling you is the truth, and I know it's the truth. You were never intended to live a sad, unhappy life. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't mean challenges may not arise and things may not come up that you have to overcome to give you some more faith muscles. Yeah, that stuff can come up. That's just the journey of life. But it's never meant to keep you down. It was only meant to bring you up. You see, because life is always happening for you and not to you. And when we learn how to move through pain, and when we learn how to move when things come up and arise, that, and when we learn that everything that could ever happen, that we're already equipped for the answer is inside of us, there, it's only to stop us to go within. It's me hear the voice is saying inside of me and how to move through this process. Because sometimes the only way the spirit can get our attention is sometimes we got to be tapped, and some of us got to be knocked out, and some of us got to be knocked out, flipped out, and beat upside the head, baby, until we become still and hear. So I want you to know, family, I want you to have an empowered, healthy relationship with money. I want us to reframe the belief stories and things that we've been telling ourselves, the belief system that's kept us wrapped up into where you are today. But for today, a year from today, which is May 4th, I want a year from today to say, I have a different relationship with my money. You see, I got my money making money for me. So write today's date down. And today's date, 1 year from now, I want us to be in such a different financial space that our relationship to money has changed. You have to own it, family. You see, money is a topic that can trigger people. It's a topic that can really set people off. So during this conversation, if you find yourself getting triggered, if you find yourself getting upset, just pause for a moment and see if you can get curious instead of triggered. And if you are getting triggered, start to notice, gosh, why am I getting triggered? Because money is a very powerful topic, and when you get your alignment and relationship with money right, massive, huge, astonishing opportunities open up to your life. And this is not about being a millionaire or billionaire. This is about you having a positive, empowered relationship with money, family. In order for us to do this, the first thing we have to really ask ourselves is this. What is the question is, well, what is money? What is money? What is money? That's the question. Well, money specifically, all it is energy. Money represents energy in exchange of value. Now, let me tell you what the millionaire said in front of us last week. That was the question when his topic came out, what is money? What is money? I said a medium of exchange for value. He said something that I thought was really, really interesting. I had never heard money described like this. But he said money is ideas backed by confidence. Family, say that with me. Money is ideas backed by confidence. Well, let me tell you why I like that definition of money. I had never heard that definition of money before, but I liked it. Because people do only buy your ideas, and they buy your ideas based on your confidence. You might want to write that down. Money is ideas backed by confidence. And when we build our self-confidence, we can build our ability to sell any ideas that come to our mind. Because what is money? Don't make money. Reverend Ike says, what? Family, anybody who knows Reverend Ike, anybody who's been on this call know what money is. What makes money? What makes money, family? Ideas. Ideas make money. Say it with me, family. Ideas make money. Ideas make money. Ideas make money. Say it, family. Ideas make money. So the definition of money, according to the millionaire that came before us last week, is ideas backed by confidence. Money represents energy in exchange of value. And in life, there are transactions. We transact money. We exchange money for some type of value. And that value might be coming on a retreat. That value might be purchasing clothing. That value might be purchasing food on an airplane ticket. It might be giving a gift to somebody. But it might be a mutual exchange of value and energy in every transaction. That value might be buying your book. That value might be coming to sister's home. That value might be what? Coming to wherever event or workshop that you created. That value might be coming on your retreat. But wherever, it's a medium of exchange for value. And so if we have built up a money story or a money paradigm, we were told by someone growing up, maybe money doesn't grow on trees, or we live in a scarce universe. You got to work hard for your money. Work hard for your money. And you know, to barely earn a living or whatever it might be, you really got to ask yourself, what's my money story? So when you think about money or maybe not having enough money, what are the stories that you tell yourself about why you don't have it? Maybe teachers aren't supposed to make money. Maybe artists are not supposed to make money, or maybe people like me aren't supposed to make money, or maybe rich people are mean, or whatever it might be. Really think about what your money story is, and then I want you to tap into the underlying emotion below that story. Usually it's a feeling of sad, powerlessness, anger, something like that. So I want you to marinate on that right now. What's my money story? What is the story that I tell myself about money? What is the money story that I tell myself? I want you to think about that. What is the story that I'm telling myself when it comes to money? And I want you to notice the emotion that comes up with it. Are you sad? Do you feel powerlessness? Do you feel anger? Do you feel it's just not enough? And I want you to think about it. What happens when a bill collector calls and you don't feel that you have the money to pay? Do you get frightened? Do you get afraid? Do you avoid? I want you to think about that, because how we do anything is how we do everything. That means when there's hard conversation or hard topics, do we not give our voice to something because we avoid it, or do we are afraid and we step back? What do we do? Because we really don't compartmentalize our lives. How we do anything is how we do everything. Could your money be clogged up because of unforgiveness? Could your money be clogged up because you have not placed a value on the most important commodity in your world, Do anybody know what the most valuable commodity in your world is? I wish y'all were in front of me because I really would love to see your faces. It's you. You are the most valuable commodity. Let me say that again. Who is the most invaluable commodity? You are. So here's the spiritual truth. We live in an abundant universe. We live in a universe where there's more than enough money. We can't run out of air. We will never run out of air. Try to go to the beach and count how many pebbles are in the sand. You see, we live in a truly abundant universe where energy ebbs and flows. And then we have to be able to open ourselves up to receive money. Come on, family, say, I am open to receive money today. Come on, family, say it with me. I am open to receive money today. And if you're at work, say it in your mind. Write it on your paper. I am open to receive money today, right now, family. Come on. I am open to receive money right now. And we have to be able to open ourselves up to receive money if we want to be able to get paid well for our services. The other thing is this, is that if we want to be able to be in a structure and a system and a dynamic, I want you to hear this, family, that allows us to be abundantly compensated for the value that we're bringing to the world. Now, your definition of abundance and someone else may have a different definition, but as long as you have more than enough to go around, that's what abundance is. When you have enough, you know, money at the end of the month instead of month at the end of the money. Come on, family, I want you to really hear that. I want to say this again. As long as you have more than enough to go around, that's truly what abundance is. And that may be a different amount for each and every one of us. When we get to that place, we are already knowing that we are elevating, where there's more than enough in our account, more than enough in our account, more than enough. Why do I say that? Because I want you today to look at how much does it take to run your household and to run it with everything being paid smoothly each month. Some of you may be $2,000, some may be $5,000, some may be $10,000. So if you at $2,000, $5,000, that means you have $3,000 extra a month. If you have $5,000 a month, then $6,000 to $10,000 could be extra more money a month. Then if you at $10,000, $15,000 could be more. Wherever level you are at, however much it takes to run your household, I want you to really think about it and give yourself a true, authentic number. Find out what that number is, and then we're going to create a financial freedom number after that. So if your number is 25, then we're going to double it. And you know, we could just add another 1,000. That's maybe 1,500 more. That can be your financial freedom number. So meaning that if you make 2,500, if you have $2,500 in bills every month that goes out, that means that you have to make sure that that much money comes into your house to run your home smoothly. And then another $1,500 will put you at $4,000, right? 3, 2, 1, there, 4. And that means $4,000 could be your freedom number right now. So if I made $4,000 a month, what would I do with the extra $1,500 that I make? Now, we're talking about making money make money for us. So guess what? A portion of money that I earn is mine to keep. A portion of the money to earn is mine to keep. That's the first thought I want you. I want you to put that in your journey. A portion of the money that I earn is mine to keep. A portion of my money that I earn is mine to keep. Okay? Put that in. And then the rest of that extra money that you earn, where could you invest where your money will be making money for you? And we're going to be bringing people in to give us some thought processes about where we can do that. Everything is not for everybody. And anybody that comes on here, I want you to first check in with your spirit and think about what is the best direction for my money flow for you. And nobody is coming on for us to do anything with them, but for us to just get advice from millionaires about some direction we can take with our own money. how to look up stocks, how to begin to invest in stocks, how to begin to invest in real estate in your own community, how to use tax delinquents. You know, we're in the odd year, and every odd year is where the scavenger sale comes, and scavenger sale happens for the tax properties. And every, and depending on where you are in Illinois, if you buy a tax certificate and if you buy a tax certificate in Illinois and you don't get 18% earned on your money, well, that's a good investment. In Michigan, you get almost 26%. Michigan is one of the higher places. Some places give land certificates, tax certificates, and some places give tax deeds. Some of them do both. So we want to learn things like that so that in our area where we want to start investing in, if that's not what you want to invest in, maybe you want to invest in stocks. Maybe you want to invest in something else. But whatever it is, we're going to be bringing people in to talk about these things and talk about these topics from different places in the world so that you can know the laws and know the information from your community and how to start in your community. So anyway, that's what my goal is. Because a year from now, I want us to reframe our conversation. And I want us to have a conversation where I am living a different process with my money. And that's the that's the testimony I want to get 1 year from now, because we were intentional. Everybody in agreement with that? Say, ah. Okay. I guess you say, she must think she in front of us, huh? As long as you have more than enough to go around, that's what abundance is. When you have enough, you know, money, you have more money at the end of the month instead of month at the end of the money. So it really gets down to a story, limiting beliefs, limiting story. Am I telling myself about why I can't have what I want? What's the underlying negative emotion? And how is that fueling my inability to receive? Let me ask you this question again, because I really want, that's the biggest thing. What is the underlying negative emotion, and how is that fueling my inability to receive? I can't receive it. I'm not valuable enough. And then on top of that, how can I add proper value to the world? Because profit and money in exchange, really profit is a byproduct from adding value to the world. Let me say that again. Profit, money is a byproduct from adding value to the world. But let me say this to you, and I believe every word that I just said right there. I'm reading that from his thing, but I want you to know that, do you know you can add value to the world, and your value could be so valuable, but you don't see it valuable. So the one thing I want to add to that sentence is, you got to know that you're valuable. Say to yourself, I got to know that I'm valuable. Family, say to yourself, I got to know that I am valuable. Family, I want you to know, I want you to say that to yourself. I have to know that I am valuable. I have to know that what I am sending out to the world is valuable. Because if I don't see it valuable, even though what I do is add value to the world, I don't know if the byproduct is going to be profit if I don't know that I'm valuable. And I'm not going to say I've been a millionaire. I've made plenty of money, and I probably was worth a million when I look at all the equity in my properties and the money I was making. But I didn't know my value, family. That's why it was so easy to lose everything, because I didn't know my value. And I'm going to tell you the second mistake I made. I was telling Britton last night, not having a mentor. You see, if I had a mentor when I was losing everything, there's some things I could have did differently to keep some of my properties. But because of my fears and not wanting to face the things that I needed to face, I just let things go. One property I could have kept that didn't even have that much. I didn't even owe that much on it. But because I was caught up in my feelings and emotions, but if I had had a mentor, if I had had somebody speaking in my ear, if I had had some wind beneath my wings, somebody to say, oh, no, do it this way. And if I had understood my value. So I want to add that to that sentence. So if we can really get clear on how do we want to add value to the world, maybe in the form of culture, maybe in the form of, you know, teaching, or maybe in the form of providing a service to somebody else, how can I then take that value that I want to add to the world and put myself inside of a structure that allows me to be properly compensated for the value that I bring to the world? Now, that's a very good question. Now that I know my value Now that I know what I do is add value to the world, how can I put myself inside of a structure that allows me to be properly compensated for the value that I am bringing to the world? Come on, family. How can I put myself in a structure? Put that in your journal. And I want you to journal that. I want you to ask spirit, your soul, how can I, now that I know that what I bring to the world is valuable. But see, you can't just say to yourself, oh, I know what I bring to the world is valuable. You got to feel it and you got to know it in every cell in your body. See, you got to know it in every inch of who you are. You got to know it in everything that you do that you bring value. Not just saying it to yourself. Because remember, we can think it, we can speak it, but if we don't feel it, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that feeling, right? It don't mean a thing if I ain't got that swing, right? If I ain't feeling it, if I ain't feeling it, if I'm not feeling it, you got to feel it, baby. You got to feel it. Because why? What does Reverend Knight say? Come on, somebody know. Because the feelings get the pleasure. Feelings. Come on, family. And then how can I take a look at my money stories? Am I limiting to Iblis? Am I limiting emotion to keep money out? So let me stop by to remind you, you're already valuable. You already know you're valuable. You already know what you bring to the world is amazing. So the two questions is, how can I take the value that I bring or the value that I add to the world and put myself inside of a structure that allows me to be properly compensated for the value that I'm bringing to the world? Come on, family, write that in your journal. If you need to come back to the call, please come back to the call. This is an important call, and I want you to share it. Please don't keep this call to yourself. You know, it's interesting how this, we have a lot of people on the call. Today we may have 100 people good on a call today. Isn't that interesting? Normally we have anywhere from 200 to 300 people on a call. On a good day we may have 400 or 500. Sometimes we get up to 800. Today we don't have that many people on the call. And some of the people that I think should be on the call, they're not even on the call. I'm really surprised, and I really want them to hear this because this is important to what they bring into the world. But, you know, everybody's always where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. So this is my plea to you today. This is such a good call to me. And if you feel like it's a good call to you, I'm going to send it out to whoever asked me to send it out to you. Thank you, Linda. I will be sending it out to you. I got your text. But I want you to do me a favor and ask somebody to listen to this call today.
Okay, family, I know I had to repeat the call because I didn't wake up ring tune this morning, but I thought it was so good, and I want to thank you all. It was so good. This call was even good to me. You know how you just don't get the chance to really listen? I guess I said that on the call. It was really, really good to me. But really sitting back and listening. Today, this call was really powerful to my soul because it is important that we get our money story together. It is important that we reframe the story that we've been telling ourselves and really asking ourselves these questions. What can we do to reframe our money story? So today, if anybody got any quick questions, because I know we're way past the hour, we got about 20 minutes, and I just want to send a shout-out to all my June birthday. Lovey Bernard, yay! Toya White, yay! Judy Green. I just want to send all the love to all my love, June. And I just want to also send a shout-out to Manetti's husband. He had a birthday Sunday. Britton's brother had a birthday Sunday. And all the birthdays in June. Just want to send y'all some love. Any questions, comments, or concerns this morning? Star 6, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, press 1. I know we heard this one, but I had to play one, and this one just came to my mind. So I know I replayed it 2 times now. But we've heard this story 3 times now. All right, any questions? All right, thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey family. You know I'm out of town. And sometimes it's real hard when you're in a hotel room because you don't want to wake up people you're in a hotel with. I am in a hotel with my husband, though, y'all. All right, I want to remind each and every one of you all that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to dream your God-sized dreams. And I want to remind you to live your God-sized dream. Because so many times we dream, but we never take the action. This call is to remind us this time to get into action, family. Let's do it, family. This is the brand new heavies. Never give up. See you in the morning. You've been tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janina and Ingram. I want to say thank you to all of you for showing up. And I see you in the morning getting ready to go to the airport. And I just want to say again, all the love to my June babies. I love you, love you, love you. May this month be filled with love and joy and happiness, and may you have many, 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 many more birthdays to come, and may they only get better and better and better. Happy birthday to all the Junes. No, I love y'all. Have a good day.